Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll like it. I think it'll help you. And also, you don't have to come to me. We'll come to you with our newsletter. It comes on Sunday by email, and our blog, which comes Monday through Friday. You can find all that at our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com, including my books, including the second one, 3 Minutes to Success. It's brand spanking new, just out recently. Elise Bennett is our guest and our good friend. She's one of the top marketing experts on the planet and certainly in our brain trust. She's the author of a number of books, including the upcoming book, Stop Pushing Me Around. She is a marketing mentor. That's what she does, folks. She helps people like you and me do a better job of putting our business and ourselves best foot forward in the marketplace. But the thing I'm the most excited about, she's our friend. Elise, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. Now, you've been working on this Stop Pushing Me Around project, haven't you?
I have.
And the last time you were here, we talked about the issue of being shy and people, maybe people pushing us around, but maybe also us either letting people push us around, or maybe we just allowed it to happen by just being so shy. Now, what have you been hearing from some of your folks?
Well, you know what's interesting? I'm trying to figure out who it is that's doing the pushing. And actually, it seems like people allow their feelings to push them around.
Yeah.
That's what
self-imposed.
It is self-imposed, and one of the big feelings that pushes people around is fear. And you'd be surprised how many people underneath it all are really afraid of all sorts of things. And people have been posting to my blog, which is stoppushingmearound.blogspot.com, by the way.
All right.
And here are some of the things that they've been posting. Here's someone that said, I seem to find myself staring at a list of phone numbers with a pounding heart and frozen brain. I'm helpless without a script. And even then, I tend to speak too fast, leaving my contact asking, now what's that again? He says, I think I'm afraid of infuriating the person on the other end of the line, of coming off like a telemarketer trying to hawk windows and siding. I have visions of these folks saying, leave me alone, and slamming down the phone.
Elise, do you remember an article that I wrote called The Many Faces of Fear? You probably don't remember that.
No.
I wrote an article called The Many Faces of Fear.
Uh-huh.
And I identified, you know, 8 or 10 different levels of fear. But the payoff of the article was the way you fight fear is by the fear fighting tools, by having the fear fighting tools. Which is information, which is education, which is experience, which is practice, things like that. That person, was it a guy? Did you indicate
I don't know,
it was a guy?
Actually.
Okay, all right. You said you
anonymous.
Okay, I got you. You used the masculine
gender.
I did
for some reason in my mind. It's
well, that's
guy.
Okay. That's okay. I just didn't know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is I can help that guy, and you can too. And you, mm-hmm. and I know that you do because. This guy needs practice and tools and techniques, doesn't he?
Yes, and actually, the thing that I find most amazing is that most people kind of go blank inside and don't know what to say. That comes up a lot. And the thing, besides these tools, and I'd love to see that article, Jim, by the way, what seems to be the problem is that people are totally focused on themselves and not focused on the person they're talking to.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people, Elise, I think you're exactly right. And what happens is what they should be thinking about is the beauty of engagement, of engaging this person they're talking to and making a connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it, though, is I'll give you a classic example. Salespeople fail because they make too many cold calls. And the reason they make, because cold calls are really hard. They're really hard to be successful just dropping in on somebody. But the reason they make cold calls is because of what that guy said about making a phone call so that they can make an appointment for, have set up an appointment. Mm-hmm. And the reason they don't make appointments and they're afraid to do that is because they don't know how to do that. And what they do is they try to sell something that the phone call is not intended to sell.
Right, that's true.
And so what I'm getting at is they've got their technique wrong. They haven't learned the skills yet. And when you get all those things, the fear goes away, especially after you practice.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. We solved the problem.
Well, yeah, except don't you think though that some people, if they're not sort of in an environment that causes them to do what you and I were just talking about, some people actually will just continue to fail?
They'll either continue to fail or they won't keep trying and they won't get help and they'll, you know, kind of continue to be at the mercy of whoever happens to call them.
Right.
And I mean, that's what I see mostly, is people stuck in a place and not sure what to do, but also kind of frozen and not looking for help because they don't really want to do it in the first place.
Well, at least this is the reason why what you're doing is so important, helping folks one-on-one, helping organizations to put their best foot forward in the marketplace. You and sales training people and marketing people, other folks who are offering these kinds of services to individuals and to small companies, as the marketplace moves more towards being more devoted, more dedicated, more dependent upon small businesses, aren't the best in the world at training their people. We're just not good at it. We don't do that well. We don't commit the resources or the time to training people like big companies do. And mm-hmm. That's the reason why I think you'll always have work, Elise.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah, it's true. I mean, my clients are small business owners who the money's coming out of their pocket. And they really have, there's a category of them who, have to hit bottom, basically. Before they get help. And there's another category that, you know, knows that it's you shouldn't wait till the famine time
right.
to start the marketing process. And that's what happens a lot.
Well, absolutely. And the best thing that ever happened to me, Elise, was I was with three organizations. By the time I'd been trained by three organizations by the time I was 27. The Army, Sears Roebuck, and Xerox. But all three of them gave me some great training. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. The Army did teach me how to sell, folks. They really did. 20 after, we'll be right back with our good friend, Elise Benin. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Elise Benin, one of the coolest ladies in the Brain Trust. She's the author of Marketing, Creative Services Online, Self-Promotion Online, that's two different books, and the new book, which is coming out next year, and we're sort of giving you a little bit of an advanced preview of it right now, folks. We're helping Elise build this book, and we'll give you, but she promises to launch it on this show next summer when it's ready to go. The book is called Stop Pushing Me Around, and Elise, give us your website and your blog, please.
Okay, the website is www.marketing-mentor.com, and the blog is stoppushingmearound.blogspot.com. And the subtitle of the book is A Workplace Guide for the Timid, Shy, and Less Assertive.
Now they can post to your blog too, can't they?
Yes, they can contribute to the book and answer some of the questions, and that's often good for a little publicity, certainly when the book comes out.
Yeah, so you might be in Elise's book coming out.
Right.
Of course, some of us might not want to be some of the things we say to be in your book.
You can post anonymously.
Elise, you were talking about something a minute ago about the post that we were talking about a little bit ago, the person who said they were afraid of this or that.
Uh-huh.
You know, if that's an employee, that's one thing. because that's training that an employee can fix that. You and I can fix that. Anybody, a lot of people can fix that with training, and with a little, you know, a little guiding hand there, so to speak. But what concerns me is that that person may be a business owner. They may be the apex person in that organization.
A lot of them are.
And that's a little more problematic, isn't it?
Definitely, because, you know, they're guiding the company, and if they can't be the one to speak up about it, and it happens so many times because people start their own businesses because they love what the business is about, not because they love the idea of promoting it.
Yeah, and see, I worry about that. That's one of the concerns that I have for small business owners is that they start a business, but yet they have these fears. And, you know, Elise, you know, you and I pontificate here on this show like we're, you know, like we're so with it and together, got it so much together, and we have all this wonderful advice and everything. We have our fears, don't we?
We do. I mean,
we both have our fears. We've talked about that, but you just have to learn how to deal with it. But you also have to realize, just like when you're the parent of a child, you know, you're frightened and you're unsure of everything that you're doing. You don't know if you're doing the right thing, but you still have to make it happen, don't you?
You do, and, you know, it brings up the issue of self-confidence, because a lot of people use that as the excuse, if you will, that they don't have the confidence.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to understand that confidence doesn't come first.
Say that again.
It seems to me that confidence is developed through the process of doing the things we're afraid of.
Like I was, and the word that I used in the previous segment was practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's where confidence comes from. Mm-hmm. Practice and execution, right?
Definitely. And actually, I had this other idea recently that confidence is minding your own business. In other words, when we say we lack self-confidence, it seems to me we're comparing ourselves to other people who seem more confident.
Yeah.
And if you stop comparing yourself to other people and mind your own business,
yeah,
then that can be used to develop confidence also.
So stop taking a poll. Stop being a politician. Don't take polls.
Mm-hmm.
Look to yourself. And
if you have to measure against anyone, you measure against your past experience or your past performance,
right,
like any good athlete does.
Right. Yeah, well said. Good. That's a good job. Don't you think sometimes our small businesses take on its own attitude of being unable to compete and being not being self-confident? You think the business winds up being that way as a result of the way the owners are and the way they transmit that to their employees?
I think yes, definitely. It comes from the top.
And that's a failure waiting to happen, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, or sometimes it's not a failure. It's just like floating along or no growth.
In the 20th century, in 21st century, though, that's headed for ultimate demise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the 21st century, you can't float in the 21st century. You got to be going in a direction and with a purpose, don't you?
I agree, but I also see a lot of businesses that, you know, kind of get lucky and think that luck is going to continue.
Well, let me tell you something, though, Elise. If you find luck in the 21st century marketplace, I think you're right. I think there are people who are lucky. There are businesses that are lucky, but I sure wouldn't count on that, would you? That's not much of a business plan, is it?
No, but, you know, there's a lot of wishful thinking going on out there.
I can just see that. And, you know, this guy's making a presentation to a venture capitalist, and he says, so tell me what's your business plan. He says, well, I really don't have one. I'm just going to show up, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be lucky. So I need about $50 million. How do you feel about that? Hey, Elise, it's always fun having you here. Give us your website again, please, and the blog team.
Marketing-mentor.com and stoppushingmearound.blogspot.com.
And folks, if you'd like to not be pushed around so much, Elise can help you with that. She will if you check her out at those websites and at that blog. Thanks, Elise. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Elise Menon, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. Right back with another pretty cool guy, Mike Menzies, our resident banker in the Brain Trust. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administer.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.